Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, Mandy. Get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for what you do. We love that about you, Ski. Right, Drew Ski?
We do, Adam Ski.
All right. You got things? I got things.
Well, I've got this crazy letter from a woman who wants us to shout out to her husband to save her marriage. And she says that Jake, she loves Jake a lot. Jake loves you, Adam, and you're supposed to make an appeal. I don't know. They sent family portraits. It pulled on my heartstrings a little bit seeing all those pictures. So
did she cheat?
I don't know. I guess.
Why are you guessing?
Gary, did she cheat? Is that what happened?
I'm going to guess yes.
Okay.
She sent four different versions of what appears to be the same letter, all with pictures, including a picture of her husband at our studio standing out front. And she's basically there were a lot of little things in there to incentivize.
Yeah,
us.
I don't accept the money.
Yeah, I don't know what we're supposed to do with that, but
I'm willing to.
It's going right up my nose.
It's four letters begging us to make sure that her husband knows that she loves us.
What did get through?
Why do we have the cheating thing though?
Hold on, we didn't get to clear. Well, Gary said it to me earlier. I didn't see it in the letters, but we all got letters. And what got through to me was the family pictures. That's what affected me. And it made me think that, hey, dude, preserve the family. So we get through it, deal with the betrayal, figure it out.
How do we know this betrayal?
Gary told me that.
I didn't tell you as though it was fact, but I've never seen somebody send out $80 begging a radio host to make sure that her husband knows he loves her. It sounds to me like some sort of something was done wrong on her part, and she's trying to get
They were in Vegas with us, too, at the House of Blues when we were there.
All right. Well, what's his name?
Jake.
Well, I feel like, you know, the more I realize, you know, I think about all these fractured families. Yeah, and how old are the kids?
They look to be the kids, children. I mean, they're teens, under six.
Under six, yeah. Two kids under six, it looks like.
Yeah. Bad times for the kids.
Already. They feel the chaos and the pain.
Well,
and stuff.
You know, there's a few things. I think when you we're way past this day and age, but when you buy a horse, you're now taking on a certain responsibility. You're saying quiet. You're saying I need to be an adult. I need to be mature,
yes.
And I need to feed this horse every day. I need to groom the horse.
Even
I need to clean up after the horse.
Even if it kicks me, I got to keep going, right?
Well, even if the horse kicks me, but more importantly, I can't just get tired of the horse and move on or pick another horse or whatever. I made a commitment. I made an agreement. When you have kids, you made a commitment.
Yes.
We're getting further and further away from this, but you should feel obliged to take care of those kids, and you know, financially and emotionally for an extended period of time.
And millennials have done this weird math where they go, well, I'm just not going to get married. I'll have kids, but marriage, I don't want the disappointment of a failed marriage. You think it matters to your kids whether under what circumstances mom and dad break up, whether it's a piece of paper there or not? You being apart and the family being fractured makes them feel fractured.
Well,
period.
Also, there's this element of like, well, it'd be better for the kids for us to split than to watch us argue.
Rarely.
Well, by the way, you don't have to argue in front of the kids.
Right.
Not like you have to call everyone in the kitchen so daddy can go nuts on mommy or vice versa.
That's part of not screwing with the horse.
In a weird way, I think if you'd like to take some of the pressure off the marriage, put more of the focus on the kids and less on the marriage. It'll take some of the pressure off the marriage and put it on, it'll refocus it, and then it makes your relationship better, because then it becomes...
You're building something together.
That's funny. I was going to say, you're a couple Amish guys who don't particularly care for each other, but you're building a barn, and you just start working together to build this barn, and the day goes by. Like, next thing you know, you're eating lunch together.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
You start collaborating.
I saw Witness. I know how it works. All right, Jake. Is it Jake?
No, good number. Yeah, Jake.
All right. Who do you want to talk to?
Line two.
Line two? There's nobody on line two.
Three, I beg your pardon.
Line three? All right, let's talk to Anton, 31, Burbank.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you so much for taking my call.
What's going on?
Get it on. Long-time listener, first-time fan. I actually been listening to you guys since I was about 11 in middle school and on Loveline. But I had a question for Dr. Drew and to see what you guys think about those DNA kits that they're starting to advertise now. I think there's like the 23andMe, a couple of other companies that kind of tell you where you're from and a little bit of your makeup. Mm-hmm. Just to get your thoughts on that, if Dr. Drew recommends one over the other.
Well, they're all kind of the same thing. They're looking at the junk DNA, the non-physiologically active or biochemically active strands of DNA that have indicators on where on the globe that those particular junk patterns came from. So there's sort of general sort of trends on where on the globe parts of your DNA were contributed at what time and whatnot. They're all about the same.
Well, here's what I've learned. You either find out you were a slave owner or a slave. Those are your two options for that. So those are the only two, Drew.
But I want you to understand there's something out there that is extremely relevant from a health standpoint, and that is actually screening for the 30 genes that are at important risk for cancers of various type. So there's something out there called color.com. I don't work with them, but I've been a patient of theirs. I've applied my own DNA to it. I have a patient herself who is an academic geneticist who told me about it. She said it's the highest quality. For $250, they test you. Turned out I have a DNA repair problem. So it's going to change how I am screened going forward the rest of my life. They then will test your first degree relatives for $50. Turns out two of my sons have the same gene, so they have to start screening at age 25 when they might have started screening at 50, which would have been way too late for the problem that we have in our family. And so for, you know, $350, we've just found this very important medical thing.
Is it safe to say if it's 1995, it's just probably not going to be that effective? It's got to get past some threshold of a couple $100.
What I want to say is this 5 years ago would have been $10,000. And they give you as much time you want with a geneticist. And when I did my genetic counseling with the geneticist, all I kept asking is, how do you guys do this? How is this possible? This is like for a biologist, it's like if I were a automotive engineer and a flying car appeared in my driveway and it was perfect. It was a perfect – it did exactly what everyone imagined a flying car would do and be. And that's the equivalent of this kind of DNA testing. So everyone – middle-aged people particularly, if you have any family history of cancer, particularly GI cancers or breast, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, get color.com. Get that test.
Awesome. That's a lot of good info. And to kind of follow up on that thought, would you share any sort of concern in that once you give your DNA, it kind of goes into like any sort of database or, you know what I mean? Like
that used to be, I understand that people used to have concerns about that, and it is still, you know, HIPAA laws do still protect everything. But I don't know what, let's say, Ancestry.com or 23andMe does with the DNA. It's a good question. I would ask them. I know color really is a medical instrument, so they, you know, you have to have a doctor referred and whatnot, and they take care of that for you, by the way. And so it's under HIPAA protection. And generally speaking, the person that these days the liability is incurred by the insurance carriers, not the individual, because
it's all going to be confiscated by our overlords who take
that's
over
fine.
One
take
day.
It. That my point is take it. At this point, it mandates certain screening, and that screening is what I want.
Thank you, Anton. Yeah, hey, you know.
Hey, so much of the, me being a morning person, my brain is sick, man.
Ben, you know, Ben Affleck did one of those DNA things for like PBS, you know, your heritage thing.
Yeah.
You know the story?
No.
That's amazing.
He found out that his ancestors were slave owners
and
tried to get it removed. What a delight. Also, it's insane because obviously this is one of the, look, I'm not a the cover up is worse than the crime guy.
Right.
I don't like that. I believe, you know, we've said it a million, well, we used to say it with Love Line. You know, it's not that you cheated, it's that you lied. It's like, no, it's the cheating part. That's the bad part.
By the same token, people turn around and go, hey, I'm being honest, man. I'm being honest. I robbed a bank. I'm telling you the truth.
I don't like any of that stuff. But this is one of those cases where the cover up is actually, I think they talked to PBS and got them to do it.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
The cover up is worse than the crime because the crime's not a crime. It's called having to join the rest of the mortals who you rail against on a daily basis as being sub you.
You know who has a great version of this logic is Norm MacDonald. He goes, Bill Cosby, he raped this, whatever, but the horrible thing is that he lied about it. He hid it. He didn't tell you how he pretend he's refusing to acknowledge that that's the worst thing, the hypocrisy. He always goes around and he advocates on behalf of certain standards and he's a hypocrite. That's the worst thing. And Norm goes, I'm pretty sure the raping and the drug is the worst thing. I'm pretty sure that's the worst thing.
You'll be glad to know that after you give us some information, I got a clip of Maxine Waters talking about Bill Cosby.
All right. Blinds galore. You know I love these guys.
The best.
They do blinds better than anyone. Create 100% custom window treatments to your precise specifications down to every little detail. And they will walk you through it with their expertise. Over 2 million windows and counting. I've got a bunch of them. They really change quality of our life. I hate to say it. I laugh because it sounds like hyperbole, but these outdoor shades, when I'm outside, I don't have the sun beating down on me. I don't have that same heat blaring in through the windows. It saves energy costs. It's a good thing. Free samples, so you find exactly the material you want. Free shipping on top of the free expertise. We've all got them. Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price. Go to blindsgalore.com. Let them know you sent you here from Adam and Dr. Drew Show. That is blindsgalore.com. You can start the process right away. You'll get some free samples. You figure it out. Give them the measurements. Free shipping. Get the expert on the line. Have at it. Blindsgalore.com.
Maxine Waters was eulogizing Dick Gregory. I guess it was at his funeral. So she decided to speak to the audience about Dick Gregory and what an incredible individual he was. And how close they were. Now, to be fair, Drew's a puss because Maxine Waters is black and Drew's scared. But I have said she's an insane person, and I said she's an insane person in 1998.
You talked to her once on the Politically Incorrect or something, didn't you?
That was like 98, 99.
And what did we bring up, the morning after pill or something?
Yes.
She didn't know what you were talking about.
I said she seemed insane.
Yeah, yeah.
She seemed insane. Almost 20 years ago, and I proclaimed it.
Well,
into a microphone.
Would you mind breaking down what you mean by insane? Because I want to know.
It seemed like she was tracking.
Disorganized or
disorganized is a nice word for not tracking, not understanding, not the healthy dose of narcissism mixed with not listening.
Okay.
All right. Here's her at Dick Gregory, and I think she starts off talking about Camille and Bill Cosby.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a politician. I'm not supposed to thank Bill and Camille Cosby.
It's Dick Gregory's
funeral. A friend
in
need is a friend indeed. And if you can't stand with your friends when they need you, you're not worth your salt.
Wow.
Hold on a second. Do you realize what's going on? What's going on is, even though this person's essentially a rapist, he's black first, and I'm black. So we all need to kind of circle the wagons around this person because of the color of their skin. Just whatever they did, those are allegations. Let's do this. First thing, that's an insanely flawed approach to life, which is this person looks like me. So whatever they did.
Or let's take her at her word.
Shall be forgiven.
They're a friend. therefore, whatever they did is not a not something to be judged.
Okay, but I'm guessing she's not great friends with Bill Cosby. But here goes.
Words. Go ahead.
Okay.
Same logic. Flawed.
And so, those who don't like what we say or do, those who think maybe you have too much money,
does do include
you know
raping?
Too much, you're too uppity, they're going to talk about you, they're going to undermine you, they're going to discredit you, and if you can't stand with your brothers and sisters when it goes down, don't talk about how much you love Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory gave up everything. He gave up a fortune to be about black business. What are you going to do?
What does that mean?
Don't you dare come here tonight and talk about how much you loved him and then go to work tomorrow and skin and grin.
Skin and grin. Gay slang.
Scratch where you don't itch. Laugh when it's not funny. It's time
Hold
for
on.
Us.
I think she's saying, don't go back and work for Whitey and kiss ass.
Okay.
And don't come here.
Okay.
Pretend like you're friend of Dick Gregory and then go back into the white man's world
I see.
And kiss ass.
I see.
Like a skin and grin or laugh when you don't think it's funny. I think that's what she's talking about. Like you go back to work tomorrow morning at the Starbucks, and you laugh at a joke that your white manager makes when it's not funny. All right, but continue.
To have the courage to do what we need to do, and if ever there was a time, it is now. I wish that I had the counsel of Dick Gregory in those hours that we spent together.
Dick's
yes,
like, I'm glad I'm dead, actually.
Awful lot. I'm at a time now where I wish I could sit with Dick, because I've got work to do.
Where's this going?
I'm cleaning out
going.
The White House.
It really gets worse.
She's cleaning out the White House.
Oh, that's right. She got a good to impeach, right?
We're going to sanitize the White House. We're not going to take what is happening in this country. Haven't you taken enough? And then comes along this person who does not respect you, this dishonorable human being who cheats everybody, this dishonorable human being who will lie at the drop of a hat, this dishonorable human being who had the alt-right and the KKK and everybody else inside his cabinet.
Who is that?
Well, here's my point. She's insane. I've been saying that for 20 years. That's fine. It'd be nice if her constituency understood she was an insane person. And
yeah, that's good rhetoric, though. I mean, I can see what people respond to. That's a lot of the stuff that people are responding to.
No, dumb people love crazy people, and they never works for them because she doesn't do anything for anybody. But, she does something for herself, but not other people. But here's the thing. I don't like it, and here's why I don't like it. Because when I hear a news story about team from the Pee Wee team from St. Louis, and they're telling all the players to take a knee and turn their back to the flag because this flag does not serve you, you're taking a bunch of 8-year-olds and you're scaring them, and you're indoctrinating them into a system of fear, and it's the worst thing you could ever do to a child or a group, mm-hmm. adult or not. Mm-hmm. If I ever said to my son, hey, listen to me, those folks who try to teach you, those classmates, the people you have to deal with, oh, believe me, they have it in for you. Just believe me. They might not say it to your face, but the second you leave the room, you know they're talking shit about you, Sonny, and you better this, and you better that. Well, if I indoctrinated him into that way of thinking, whether it was true or not, by the way,
he'd find it.
He'd find it, and it'd be the worst way. It'd be the worst thing I could do for my son. Okay. It would make his life miserable, not only his young life, his adult life. The thing that was funny is I was thinking about this, and I always realized I wish more black people knew what assholes normal people are. Because we have the benefit of being white and knowing it's not a race issue. But I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking about, you know, just sort of notion that, you know, people have it out for you, people have it out for you. I was thinking about the time I had a first class ticket to Seattle. I flew on Alaskan Airlines. I was going to sit in my first class seat. The overhead baggage area above my seat had been filled up with other people's luggage, and they said, we got to check your bag. Uh-huh. And I was sort of new to flying. Not new to flying, but I'd never done a gate check before. And they said, we need to check your bag. Yeah. And I said, okay. And they handed me a receipt, and they checked my bag. And I got off the plane, and because I was in first class, I was the first guy off the plane, and I dutifully walked right on down to the baggage carousel, and I sat there for 45 minutes, and I never saw my bag.
Right.
And then I went to the counter, and I said to the representative of Alaskan Airlines, I had a first class ticket, they checked my bag at the gate, and it's not in the carousel. And they said, oh, you got a gate check. And I said, oh, well, no one said gate check, they just said check your bag. And I said... They said, oh, you should have known. And I said, well, they didn't say anything. And they said, you should have known by the color of the tag. I said, but it doesn't have any writing on it. And they said, well, you should have known. Yeah. And I said, okay, just listen. Okay, white devil, could you call the gate then? This is in Seattle. This is where you have to take two escalators and a train, like an underground train to get to the... To get to the bags. I said, could you call the gate and have somebody bring the bag down here? No. He replied. I said,
well,
how am I going to get the bag? He said, do you have your boarding pass? I said, no. He said, why don't you have your boarding pass? I said, because I don't collect and trade with my friends. I'm off the plane. We're done. I don't need it.
Yeah.
You don't have your boarding pass? I said, no, I don't have my boarding pass. Well, I'll issue a temporary boarding pass. I said, and then what? Go get in the security line.
Yeah.
I said, but you could call them. I can't do that. Here's a temporary boarding pass. Go stand in a huge security line and get back on a train and go find your bag. Now, if I was Monique, there'd be an international incident. Like, if I were black, I'd just go, well, the guy behind the counter is clearly racist because I have a first-class ticket. They screwed up the blackjack. The guy was completely rude to me and disrespectful, and all he had to do was pick up the phone and call somebody up there to bring the bag down. Instead, he sent me back to the security line after I had to check a bag on a first-class flight. But I don't think that for a second. I just think they run their airline horribly, and this guy's a horrible employee.
Yeah.
So think about that as a life.
I did think of one other thing, too. You said, you know, what worse could you do than make Sonny paranoid about people are thinking and talking about him? There is one worse thing you can do, which would be teach him some foreign language, not English, send him to school, demand that he be taught in that language.
Thank you.
That would be the ultimate handicap.
And 36, Alabama. We'll just power through these last three here, right. Drew.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello?
Hey, man.
Yeah. I'm calling in to talk to Dr. Drew about his the way that he feels about the chronic pain issue and opioids. I feel like he has seen the addiction side to this, and it's horrible when people get addicted to opioids. It's a sad, sad thing, and they need the very best help possible. But there's other people that truly benefit from these medications, and I'm one of them. I've been on them for 17 years, and 13 at basically the same dose that's around 1,000 MME, which I know sounds crazy, but I have metabolic defects that, you know, I mean, I have no side effects and normal endocrine function, and I have a life because of this. This is, I mean...
What is your problem?
I have something called primary generalized dystonia, and then I developed arachnoiditis after having an intrathecal pump implanted to treat the dystonia.
Uh-huh. Were you ever abused?
No.
Huh?
No. No, nothing like that.
Okay. Great childhood. have this thing.
Yeah, no, I have wonderful family. Okay.
Well, the reason Drew doesn't spend a lot of time on that end of it is that's not the epidemic end of it.
That's not killing people.
Well, right now, can I say this? The chronic pain, you know, if it's 5 to 10% of people that get addicted, chronic pain patients, almost all of them are getting tapered from medications. And the ones that truly benefit from these are really struggling. And okay. That's more people
right. So,
than are addicted.
No, that's not. It's not more people that are addicted, and it's not killing anybody. While tens of thousands, now hundreds of thousands of people are dying, we have to do something. There also is no scientific evidence that opioids are a good treatment for chronic pain. There are better treatments. Fine. Yours is good. You have a skilled professional watching you. You'll stay on it. But if it is that opinion of the doctor that it's not appropriate for you, you should come off them because there are better treatments available. And even the pain management community admits that 30% get addicted. It's more like 60 or 70%.
All right. Alex, 20, Chicago.
Bit back to real. Adam, get it on.
What's going on, man?
I want to first apologize for my response from last time I called you, because he told me I was being I was having a douche motor.
Mm-hmm.
And just want to say, you know, you guys are awesome, and you guys are the reason why I'm in therapy.
Good.
And yeah, and I got
to wait a minute. Were you riding a bicycle? Were you a douchey guy riding a bicycle in Chicago?
Yes.
Okay, I remember you. Good. I'm glad you're in therapy, and I'm glad you've owned your douchosity. And I'll tell you, a way to get off of that bicycle is TrueCar, man.
Oh.
Yeah, get off that bike. Who are you, Kevin Bacon and Quicksilver? Google it. Oh. Shopping for a car. Yeah, it makes it easy. TrueCar makes it easy. You get real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. TrueCar. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual TrueCar certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. TrueCar users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. So, when you're ready to buy new or used, or in between, like our own Chris Maxpata did, he bought a Prius with 200 miles on it, so used, but it's new at the same time. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar, see what other people are paying, enjoy a more confident buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Very last call here, Drew. Real quick, like, we talked to Matt from Boston, wondering what the reactions are to Kimmel's calling out of Bill Cassidy on health care. I don't know anything about it. I went to bed early. I'm not sure what's what's going on. I know there's a feud brewing.
I guess because he came on the show and said he was going to support the kinds of things that Jimmy was suggesting, and then he's proposed a bill that it seems on its surface not to do so.
All right. Well, you shouldn't argue with Jimmy. That's my that's something I learned a long time ago.
Matt, go ahead.
So, hey, guys, get it on.
Get on.
So I guess since you haven't seen it, let's do this. In a larger context, Adam, I'm really curious to know, how effective you think it is, and let me preface by saying I thought it was extremely effective. When you see it, you can decide. But when somebody who's known for comedy and their smart writing goes and sort of steps outside of that box and takes on a real serious issue and sort of addresses the audience like that, where there was, I don't know, 8 minutes of no jokes. And I know that you try to do the same thing for other issues, but I just wondered what your sort of thoughts on that were and how effective that is when a comedian sort of steps out and says, here's what we got to do as a people.
Look, comedians are great communicators. That's why they're comedians. So the fact that when comedians step outside of the jokes, then they just become de facto great communicators. So it's usually pretty effective. Thank you, Matt. All right, Drewski, sorry we're up against it here. Not Taco Bell material. October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. October 14th, Nashville Polk Theater. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. We're doing live podcasts everywhere. And Carolla Drinks and Drewski.
DrDrewski.com. Check out all the pods there.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.